Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Our text for today is the Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19 text. I will not reread it, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Thanksgiving Day is often a time for reflection. We reflect about family and friends. We reflect about what our life is like. We reflect about all kinds of things. And I've been doing some of that reflecting, and I was thinking about just, well, how far our country has fallen from the tradition of giving thanks to God on Thanksgiving Day. I thought I would share with you a few of the statements from some of the earlier people in our government's establishment. You have Governor Bradford with the Pilgrims at the Plymouth Colony, invited the Pilgrims to keep a day of prayer, praise, and thanksgiving to God because they had, after all, survived. Well, some of them had survived. Many had died. In 1789, George Washington set aside Thursday, November 26th, as a day of public thanksgiving and prayer. This decree of law appointed, and I quote, to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many and signal favors of Almighty God. In the fall of 1863, after the Battle of Gettysburg, President Lincoln urged the entire nation to observe a day of prayer of thanksgiving on the last Thursday in November, changing the date from the date that George Washington had set. Prior to this, states had made it a regular occurrence to set their own day for Thanksgiving, and some would keep Washington's date and set another one, and they even would have two dates. And so Lincoln sets this day aside, the last Thursday of November, and the declaration that was signed that day by him was written by his Secretary of State. And I'll read you just parts of it. The year that is drawing towards its close has been filled with blessings of fruitful fields and healthful skies. To these bounties, which are so constantly enjoyed that we are prone to forget the source from which they come, others have been added, which are so extraordinary a nature that they cannot fail to penetrate and soften even the heart which is habitually insensible to the ever-watchful providence of Almighty God. In the midst of the civil war of unequaled magnitude and severity, it is permitted to expect, and there's some stuff about the war in there that I'm skipping over, it is permitted to expect a continuance of years with large increase of freedom. No human counsel hath devised, nor hath any mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy. It has seemed to me fit and proper that they should be solemnly, reverently, and gratefully acknowledged as with one heart and voice by the whole American people. I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in heaven, in the heavens. And I recommend to them that while offering up the ascription justly due to him for such singular deliverance and blessings, they do so with humble penitence for our national perverseness and disobedience. Commend to his tender care all those who have become widows, orphans, mourners, or sufferers in the lamentable civil strife in which we are unavoidably engaged, and fervently implore the interposition of the Almighty Hand to heal the wounds of the nation and restore it as soon as it be consistent with his divine purpose to fulfill to full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union. In 1938, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt wrote, Thus, from our earliest recorded history, Americans have thanked God for their blessings in our deepest nature, in our very souls. We, like all mankind since the earliest origins of mankind, turn to God in times of trouble and in times of happiness. In God we trust. And we got it now printed on all our money, so we know that that's a fact, right? The government tells us to trust in God, and, well, it's interesting because when we get to Roosevelt, we're starting to pull away from calling a nation to repentance. A year later, we see what happens to Roosevelt. There's a great deal of pressure put on him because of Lincoln's date being the last Thursday of November falls on November 31st. On November 31st, that only allows you 24 shopping days till Christmas. And so the retailers start petitioning Roosevelt to change the date of Thanksgiving, and he does. He moves it to what it is now, and now we have it as the fourth Thursday in November. So the problem has been resolved, right? Our nation always remembers the fourth Thursday to give thanks to God for all he has done. Well, not really. It's kind of interesting. I went back through some of the Thanksgiving proclamations of the past couple of presidents. I guess we can blame Reagan for this, because he's the one who started pardoning turkeys instead of declaring that we need to give thanks to God. And so we had this year Nugget and Wishbone pardoned, and the media was all excited to tell us about it. But can you imagine if Donald Trump had said anything like President Lincoln had said, or even George Washington had said, or if Barack Obama before him had said anything of that kind? And trust me, neither have. Because Thanksgiving Day has become more about Black Friday than Thanksgiving Day. It is more about the football games that will be played today or the hunt than giving thanks to God. And while the government has forgotten the meaning of Thanksgiving Day, it's sad to say it seems the church has forgotten it as well, as, well, we seem to rush right past from Black Friday to Christmas, forgetting that whole season of Advent that is the little Lent, the penitential season, to call us to repentance, to bring us again to thanking God so that we can, well, give God thanks and praise for his mercy. Instead, we strive to rush to Christmas before the turkey is cold. And we replace repentance with feasting families and 50% off. And we stuff ourselves to where our stomachs are uncomfortable, and we feel how thankful we are for the meal. And we talk about how thankful we are for our friends and our family, and we completely forget God. It appears that the nation and church are taking God for granted, forgetting even to pause today, a day set aside by the government for Christians to give thanks to God, and yet we don't. And that's what makes the Gospel of Luke today such a perfect text. You see, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, our text tells us. He's passing through Samaria and Galilee. And so you understand, the Samaritans are Jews. They're hated by Jews, but they're Jews. That's their heritage. They're children of Israel. They were considered adulterated, though, through intermarriage, and that their observances were considered corrupt by the Jews. You see, Samaritans were left behind after the Samaria's destruction in 722 BC, and then it included also people imported by the Assyrian king. They inhabited the area between Judea and Galilee, and the Samaritans only accepted the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament, as authoritative. And they worshipped at Mount Gerizim as they rejected Jerusalem as the proper place for worship. Therefore, it is very common at this time for the Jews to treat all Samaritans as if they had leprosy, to treat them all as if they were completely unclean. Yet as Jesus is on his southward journey to Jerusalem, where what awaits him is his death on a Roman cross and his empty tomb to heal all people, he is greeted by the pitiful cry of 10 lepers. "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." This is the same cry for mercy that we sing in the Kyrie. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. This cry is a cry out of faith and desperation, which is why it is the cry of the church. These 10 are confessing their need on God's mercy, just as we did today in our own confession, as we confess that we have sinned against God in thought, word, and deed, by things we have done and by things we have left undone. It needs to bring us low. It needs to bring us to the point of understanding that before Almighty God, apart from His grace and His mercy, we're dead, we're damned, we're judged. The lepers are much like us. They publicly declare themselves unclean. As people would approach, they would have to even shout out, "Unclean, unclean." And today we did that in front of each other, our own family members and friends. Lord, have mercy upon us. And God hears our cry for mercy. And through His only Son, Jesus, God brings His mercy to all. As Jesus is the one who has taken our sins upon Himself, as Isaiah had prophesied long ago of the Messiah. Surely He took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered Him stricken by God and afflicted. But He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon Him, and by His very wounds we are healed. Jesus is merciful. God is merciful, and therefore Jesus is God in His mercy that He shows. And He tells the 10 lepers, "Go and show yourself to the priest." A simple request. And yet it took some faith on their behalf to leave. They didn't stand there like the centurion and complain about not being given some kind of a magic show to show them that they would be clean. They went. And they were cleansed. Just as everyone here today had their own cry for mercy answered. "Your sins are forgiven you. Every one of them." That's what absolution is for. The pastor has the joy of saying, "In the stead and by the command of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I forgive your sins in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And that declaration of your forgiveness drives you back to your very baptism, where you are baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that drives you to the cross of Jesus, where you are joined with Him in His death and rise with Him in His resurrection. Pastor Rafa and I announce God's forgiveness every service. But still, I've heard lifelong Lutherans say, and it just blows my mind to think that they could ever utter these words, that they had never heard they were forgiven. So listen closely. Your forgiveness is not about how it makes you feel. It's not about yourself. It's not about how others view you. Your forgiveness is about how God looks at you. And God looks at you clean, without blemish or defect. Because the only begotten Son is without blemish or defect. And you have been joined to Him. This is what makes absolution such a life-changing occurrence. God declares to you through your pastors, your sins are forgiven before man and before God. To this gift, we can only say, "Amen. Yes, yes, so shall it be." And look at the lepers. As they went, they were cleansed, all 10 of them. Cleansed at the speaking of the Word made flesh, just as He has spoken us cleansed of our sins today. The very sins that separate us from each other and from God. God's mercy has been given and we are clean. Therefore, we Christians give thanks every day, not just the fourth Thursday in November. Our entire life becomes one of thanksgiving for all God has done. The Christian life is one of repeatedly crying out to the Lord to have mercy on us because we sin as we confess every day in thought, word, and deed, and rejoicing in His unending mercy. This allows the Christians to gather together in unity instead of division and join our confession with that of the former leprous Samaritan who awaited for the Messiah, the one who was promised in Genesis 3:15, who would crush the serpent's head. So let us not forget that that is why Jesus is heading to Jerusalem. He's going to Golgotha to crush a little skull. Satan's headship is crushed. No more can he claim us as those forsaken by the Father because Jesus was forsaken in our place. No more can death have claim over us because Jesus died our death. No more need we be separated from God and one another because through Jesus' death and resurrection, God and man are reconciled. So let us today and every day return to the Lord, falling on our faces in true humility, giving Him thanks and praise, for His mercy most certainly endures forever. He has cleansed us through the sacrifice of His only begotten Son, and He offers us a foretaste of the feast that is in heaven as He gives us Himself, His very body and blood, in with and under the bread and wine for you, once again, for the forgiveness of your sins. And in God-given faith, we who have eyes to see and ears to hear know the Good Shepherd's voice, and we rejoice to hear Him say, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." So happy Thanksgiving Day, dear friends in Christ, dear brothers and sisters. May God continue to richly bless you and yours as you continue to give Him thanks and praise and live in His forgiveness and mercy. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.